This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Live and Learn with me, Dashran Johan. Organized by the Secretariat Solidarity Rakyat, SSR, a group of youths gathered at the Dataran Merdeka on the 17th of July to protest the Perikatan National Government's poor handling of the COVID-19 crisis. 14 black flags were raised and waved, 5 mock dead bodies wrapped in white cloths were laid on the ground, and many of these protesters even wore mock PPE suits in a small protest that left a powerful impression. Following the protest, the police called up, investigated and issued 2,000 ringgit fines to three of the organizers, one of whom, Mohammad Al-Shatri, also known as Matt, the program officer at Suaram, is joining me on the show right now. Welcome to the show, Matt. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing quite great. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Now, let's start from the beginning, Matt. What inspired this protest in the first place?
I think the protest actually is a build-up of anger that have been built up for quite a few months since the early of the year. In March, actually, we had organized a protest of Undi 18, which highlighted the government postponed the implementation of Undi 18 until December this year, and this is a ways to suppress youth voice lah. And I think another thing is by not opening the parliaments and not be able to discuss the COVID situations, I think this causes the rakyat to be angry and want to voice out their discontentment lah. Right. And the recent protest actually is due to the rise of COVID-19 cases caused by the mismanagement of the PN government, and the movement control order that have been implemented by the government also clearly fails to curb the spread of COVID-19. And we can see this by the flip-flop of SOPs by the government, including the MITI, that have allowed factories to operate even though they had contributed biggest in terms of the COVID-19 spread. Mm. It was also, I think, is in terms of solidarity to the white flag movement that shows that the riot is in a dire situation right now. Right. And the arrogance of the government officials that have been mocking the white flag movement inspired the youth to voice out their discontentment toward the PN government. And also the black flag movement is the resistance side of resistance side, where all manifestation of the anger that have been built up over the past years, I think.
You know, when we talk about protest, right, it's not just about protesting against something. On that front, yes, the protest was about protesting against the PN government's mismanagement of COVID. But were there any demands that y'all were making during these protests?
Yes, we have 3 demands currently, that the Prime Minister Muhyiddin to step down, to open the parliament, and also to end the darurat, and also the automatic moratorium for everyone. I think Muhyiddin, as a Prime Minister, have the responsibility to, because he's the head of the state, and he's the one responsible in the containment of COVID, and also to make sure that we don't fall into any economic backlash. Mm-hmm. So he's the one who should take responsibility and step down, including his ministers, the captain of the ship. So he needs to go as the one who bear the responsibility over the rakyat. And also buka parliament and tamat darurat, I think, because first, when we want to talk about how to resolve the COVID crisis, we need to talk at the parliament. It need to be discussed in the parliament where policies have been made and suggestions can be made as well. So to open the parliament, we need to end the darurat, and also allow all the MPs to come back to the parliament and actually discuss what is the problem with the riot right now, what do they need it. And also automatic moratorium is the economic side of our demand, where we think that most people were affected economically by the COVID crisis and the MCO. And this actually will help the rakyat to lessen their burden a bit lah.
Now, we've seen the images and videos of the protest, right? I mean, black flags, mock PPE suits, mock dead bodies. Tell me about this. Who came up with the idea? Was it did y'all come up with the idea together? And what were you trying to say here? Why did y'all specifically choose these imagery?
Yeah, the secretary actually came up with that ideas. So the dead bodies actually symbolizes the increasing death rate due to COVID-19 cases and also the suicide rate that have been shown unprecedented in Malaysia. The 14 black flags symbolizes the anger of the rakyat in every state and federal territories. So we can see this by the viralizations of the Lawan hashtag Kerajaan Gagal, Kerajaan Pembunuh and Kerajaan Bodoh that went viral over all social media platforms. This shows that the rakyat is frustrated and exhausted with the egos of the PN administrations and their mismanagement that refuse to take responsibility and resign.
Paint a picture for me about on what actually went down during the protest. So you guys gathered at Dataran Merdeka. What happened after that? Did y'all march from point A to point B? Did y'all give speeches?
So it's quite a short event, I would say. Mm-hmm. So we gathered at Dataran Merdeka at 3, where we start to gather among us, and we started to walk from the fountain towards the middle of the Dataran Merdeka. We initially don't want to march, but due to the movement from point A to point B, so we did a little bit of march lah, but that was quite unplanned actually. And then when we arrived in the middle of Padang Merdeka, we've read our memorandums. We've also have a representative who read a poem, actually. So, it is quite short because the police didn't allow us to be there for quite long. And also, tentatively, we don't want to be there for a long time. So we went there at 3 p.m. For about 15 minutes. Then we left the scene and dispersed lah.
Right. Peacefully. And how many people are gathered at the protest? Do y'all know?
Last Saturday, we estimated around 30 to 35 people have came and showed their solidarity with us.
Now, a line that I found very intriguing. In fact, it's a very powerful line that you guys printed on the banners and all. And it says, and I quote, "Kita mati dalam derhaka," or you know that loosely translates to "We die in treason." Now, what does that actually mean, and what was the inspiration behind this line?
So that line actually was adopted from Kasim Ahmad's poem, which dialogue. The poem actually end with, "Kian lama kita mati dalam setia, kali ini kita hidup dalam derhaka."
Right.
And why we choose the word mati instead of hidup dalam derhaka is because mati actually symbolizes the current situation of the rakyat lah, where either they're gonna die because of the COVID-19 or because of the economic hardship right now. So if we are to die, it is better to be on our feet rather than in our knees.
Yeah, definitely. During the protest, were things allowed to go on smoothly? Were there police officers that were trying to perhaps prevent the protest from happening? Or did the police help y'all ensure that the protest goes on smoothly?
I would say this time around, there is not quite a big problem with the police. They're quite accommodative lah to our cause. And also, when we're there, they actually initially want us to disperse immediately, but after negotiations, they actually allowed us to be there for around 15 minutes. And we did compel with their demands and try to disperse as soon as possible, because what we want to do is show our actions and do what we want to do and disperse peacefully. So we did that, and we compel with the police demand to disperse peacefully. So I would thank the PDRM on Saturday, because they actually also allowed us to gather for a short time.
When did you guys get called up by the police then? Was it shortly after the protests? And also tell me about how the police investigations went down. I know you probably cannot reveal all the details, but mm-hmm. whatever you can reveal, how did the investigations go?
I actually received call right after the demonstrations. Okay. So around 4 p.m., I received a call from officer from Dang Wani that called three of us to give a statement on the same day. But we negotiated again to come on the next day, and they compared with our demand as well and our plea. So during the investigations, our statement was taken for good 1 hour. And then we were met to wait for a bit before we were issued a compound. So after that, we were issued a 2,000 compound for each of us. So it's around 6,000 ringgit Malaysia. It was issued because they said that we violated the SOPs.
Okay.
They said that the summon or the compound was issued because we violated the SOPs. Even though that we tried or we did control our crowd in a manner where we safeguard themselves by using PPEs, double masking, and also we ensure that there is a proper social distancing during the protest lah. But I don't know why, but they said that we did flunk the SOP, but we are in the view of otherwise lah. We did not, and we try as best as possible to compare with the SOPs.
On the show with me today is Mohammad Al-Shatri, program officer at Suwaram and one of the organizers of the recent protest that took place at Dataran Merdeka. After the break, I'll be asking him for his thoughts on some of the criticisms they've received since the protest. We'll be back with more on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn. I'm Dashran Johan, and on the show with me today is Mohammad Al-Shatri, program officer at Suwaram and one of the organizers of the recent protest that took place at Dataran Merdeka last weekend. You know, when I was just going through social media, I would say that most people are definitely in solidarity with you guys. People are in support of the protest, but there are also, as one would expect, a number of criticisms towards the protest. And some people have argued that the protests will only cause a spike in COVID-19 cases. Were you guys worried or wary about this when you guys were organizing the protests?
So everyone's safety during the protests is our utmost priority lah. Mm. And we took measures and learned from protests happening in other countries as well. Like we use PPEs, provided masks to everyone, and also hand sanitizer before and after the protest. We also implement a strict protocol of physical distancing, I would say. This is to ensure that everyone have sufficient space to protest safely. And also, data also shows that being outdoors right now is quite safer than being indoors, right? In regard of the transmission of COVID-19. So we do take precautions, and everyone's safety very seriously.
All right. Another thing I've noticed, you know, on social media is a lot of people said that they didn't even know that a protest was going to happen, and they were saying that if I knew about it, I would come and participate and all that. I'm guessing this was more of a smaller one. Most of the attendees of the protest were people in the youth mm-hmm. activism circle mm-hmm. And also friends. So are y'all planning a bigger mass protest next?
We didn't deny the possibility of having a bigger protest in the future. Mm-hmm. But we'll be making announcements soon. The Secretary actually is right here, right? Yeah. So we hope people can stay informed on our next action.
Okay. Now, others, you know, have also argued when it comes to this protesting, right, that instead of protesting, perhaps, you know, you should have gathered funds and help the communities instead, you know, help the people who are raising white flags, give them food and all, like, oh, what's the purpose? What did the protest actually accomplish? How would you respond to these kind of criticisms?
Many of the group within the SSR coalition themselves are also actively working days in and days out in supporting the community. Mm-hmm. Especially during the Bendera Putih campaign, the group have been actively fundraising on social media and distributing aid on the ground. So we can clearly say that UCSOs are working hard to fulfill the gap that government is ignoring. But the reality is no amount of charity by the people can replace the role of the government, right? The government have the power to raise their debt limit and to compel banks to provide a real loan moratorium instead of just loans restructuring and to provide cash handout for millions of people. Which is why we demand the government to do more, and they should resign and hand over leaderships in case they can't implement these measures and pass it to someone else who is willing to make the necessary sacrifices to help the rakyat. I think this is necessary, especially in this unprecedented economic and health crisis.
Hmm. Now, generally speaking, right, what would you say is the importance of protesting? What can protests actually accomplish?
I think in every healthy democracy, there should be enough space where people can voice their discontentment and also their voice. Mm-hmm. And I see that intimidation and scare tactics by the government are the tools to silence dissent and to keep a healthy democracy from flourishing. I think these are also tools that used by authoritarian government that we all should oppose to, especially in this crisis. I think dissent or protests were needed, especially in response to the current government that didn't respond promptly to the rakyat plea. And I think these also were our demands as well for the government to actively respond and makes measures to lessen the hardship of the people. So I think protesting in these current situations is very important, especially in our crisis right now, to compel the government to do more for the rakyat, to make measures that will curb the COVID-19 and end this crisis swiftly. But I think the most important is to democratize the crisis itself so that everyone have a say on how we should handle this. I think protest is the ways to also ensure that the government have a check and balance.
When you say democratize the crisis, what do you mean?
I'm sure that not everyone's voice can be heard in terms of how to handle the crisis, but I think as a group of people who want to comment on the government's mismanagement and all, that should be given a space where they can voice out their comments to the government, right? And I think let's look back at the white flag movement, where people are in dire need of help. They would raise their white flag. I think in terms of this symbolize that they need help, and also a protest that the government isn't doing their best job in providing aid to the people. And the audacity of some of the government officials and leaders to mock this white flag movement, I think it shows that why we need people who are protesting in the street, because the peaceful ways of raising a white flag have received a mockery from them. So I think this protest is important because it is a manifestation of the anger that have been built up.
And do you think that Malaysians, especially because of the current pandemic, that perhaps there has been a sort of shift in mindset towards protesting in general? Because, you know, a lot of times in Malaysia, right, when we talk about protests, there's a lot of hesitance from the people. Either they say it's, you know, they are afraid, or it's, you know, it's too much of, you know, a rebellious behavior. Mm-hmm. We saw the same sort of reactions when, you know, there was the school walkout campaign that was just organized a couple of months ago, where a lot of people were afraid, parents were hesitant, things like that. What have you observed? Has anything changed over the past couple of months or so?
Yes, I think the newer generation, especially those are in school and those are within the 15 to 18 years old or 20 even, now is more prone to voice out their voices. Right. And I think it is the shift in the generation, in our generation in Malaysia as well, where we can see later the sentiment that you mentioned, that protest is taboo, we need to jaga our adab and so on, have been eradicated by the current generations. And I'm quite impressed with the youth right now, where, like you said, they organize a school walkout and some other forms of dissent. So this, I think, give hopes to a lot of Malaysians to see democracy flourish in Malaysia. And like I mentioned before, protests or demonstrations is indicated that we have a flourishing democracy in our country. So I would say there is a shift towards people being okay with doing protests and demonstrations. And also, I think people are more politically conscious right now, especially the youth, where we can see the school walkout and other protests were actually organized by the youth themselves.
Right.
And some of our members in SSR are the youth. And we can see this, like I said before, this is not our first protest. Previously, people who we had a protest on Undi 18 and Buka Parliament, Buka Puasa, Buka Parliament. So Undi 18 actually, most of those who came to that protest are those who are at the age of 18, where they want to voice out their vote, voice out their voice. And also they wanted to say that we do have the rights to also have a say in this government, to the government, and have responsibility towards the society. That's why I think the new generation should be also given the chance to voice out their voice. And also in terms of Undi 18, I would say we should implement it as soon as possible so that young people also can cast their vote and in deciding where our country is heading next.
Now, let's just say, you know, there are some people from the government listening to this interview, and perhaps let's say they want to know, okay, what do we have to do to prevent any more protests from happening? Because, for example, you mentioned that there could be another mass protest in the works, and as the days go, you all will reveal more details. So what does the government need to do or to improve and so that, you know, these protests do not need to happen?
I would say, first of all, to end the direct and also to open the parliament. So the parliament is needed, the most needed right now, to discuss the problem of the rakyat and what we need to end the COVID crisis. So I think this is first thing that we need to do. And if they couldn't do this, what they need should do is take responsibility and resign from their post and give that responsibility to someone else who are willing to implement those measures to lift the hardship of the rakyat currently, and also to implement ways like our next demand, our third demand, to implement the automatic moratoriums without interest, so that the hardship of or the economic burden of the rakyat can be lifted. I think if these three demands can be fulfilled, then we won't need to be on the street protesting.
Matt, as we wrap up this conversation, before I let you go, would you have a final message for us?
Yes, I think the message that we try to bring from SSR is clear, that we need the rakyat to show their anger and frustration toward the government. And I compel everyone to use the hashtag Lawan Kerajaan Gagal, and also turun dan lawan in their social media postings to to amplify our call and our demands to the government.
On that note, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Mohammad Al-Shatri, Program Officer at Suaram, about the protest that took place recently at Dataran Merdeka. So if you missed any part of the conversation, you can check out the podcast on the BFM app, bfm.my, or pretty much wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Dashran Johan, and this has been Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.